This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In a world filled with tension, anxiety, and stress, demands for self-control have become ever so important today. In our dynamically high-paced and fast-moving environment, our lifestyles and relationships often take a hit and can become strained at times. Whether at home, with our mates, relaxing with our children, or on the job dealing with the challenges we face as we strive to achieve results and expectations, or perhaps just simply out shopping or at school, life isn't always that pleasant or easy to cope with. Many have fallen in the course of life's difficulties to the hardships of substance abuse, economic failure, divorce, and street gangs, or simply depression and anxiety. Yes, life has taken its toll and scarred many of us over the years. Stay with us as we explore our level of emotional intelligence in a demanding world.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What we're going to be discussing today are our emotions. And when we look at emotions, there are a number of ways we can go when we look at a subject like this. Some people think emotions are great, that we should all have them and we should all put them out there for everyone to see. Others are a little more introverted and like to hold back on their emotion. But I want to look at what the Bible may have to say about emotion today. And we'll also be looking at a book titled Emotional Intelligence by Dan Coleman that ties in with many principles we're going to see in the pages of your Bible. To begin with, let's look at a couple scriptures that make it apparent that emotions are okay. There's nothing wrong with being or having emotions. And I'd like you to turn with me, if you're able to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. Here we read, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So the Bible makes it clear that we all have emotion and there's nothing wrong with emotion. There are times for various emotions. We can look at the New Testament and we can remember that the shortest sentence in the New Testament is Jesus wept. So we know even our Lord and Savior showed emotion. We know He showed emotion when He went into the temple and He threw over the money changers' tables. He had some righteous anger there. There was a reason, a good reason for His anger. And in that particular case, it was not wrong. It was not sin because we know Jesus did not sin. So we see examples from the Bible that emotion is okay. But we also see many examples from the Bible that there are problems with our emotions. When we let our emotions get the better of us, when we let our emotions take over, we can go into sin. We can do things that should not be done, whether those things are murder or adultery or things of that sort. So we want to look at this subject of emotion today and see what we can learn from Mr. Coleman's book, Emotional Intelligence, and also the pages of our Bible and what that has to say about emotion. Now, when you go to Coleman's book, Emotional Intelligence, what he says about emotional intelligence is it's an awareness of your feelings or emotions as they're happening. Because sometimes we may say something or we may do something, and later we may think about it and say, I should not have done that particular act. Well, Coleman is saying you have great emotional intelligence if you're able within the moment to know what that emotion is and why you're acting in that particular way. Emotional intelligence also includes being able to understand the emotions of others, being aware when others are sad, when others are happy, when others are down, and being able to talk to those people in those particular situations. And as Christians, we should want to have a high emotional intelligence because this can help us be a light to the world, which is what the pages of our Bible tell us we should be. Let me give you another example before we really get into the meat of today's program. Let's say you're driving down the road one day and you're cut off in traffic. Now, most of us will react to something like that. I admit that I've reacted to those types of things in the past. If you've got high emotional intelligence, you will quickly realize that, hey, I've probably cut people off in traffic also. There's probably a good reason why this individual has cut me off. Those who have low emotional intelligence will probably follow that driver for another 3 or 4 miles and let them know they had a problem with what just happened. So we're going to look at these things today, but before we do that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free CDs on today's program. The CDs we're offering today are, number one, Emotional Intelligence, and this is a sermon I recently gave on this particular subject. I will expand on some of the themes that I'm addressing today. Please get Emotional Intelligence. Also, ask for the CD, Emotionalism. This is by an elder in the Church of God International named Wayne Hendricks. And in this particular CD, Wayne looks at emotionalism and what place it may have within religion. Please get these two CDs, Emotional Intelligence and Emotionalism. To get both of them free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. Again, that's 1-888-578-8791. You can also order by going to our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly webcasted sermons. Please go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everybody. I'm glad you've joined us for today's program. Those of you that are just joining us, we're talking about emotions and specifically emotional intelligence. And what we mentioned at the top of the program is emotional intelligence is a self-awareness of your emotions, understanding your emotions as they're happening and being able to control those emotions. This also entails understanding others when they're feeling down, when they're feeling depressed, and being able to address that if the need is there. Now, when we talk about emotion and we look at the Bible, we see there are many examples of people losing control of their emotions in the Bible. And I want to talk a little bit about this because a lot of it has to do with how we're wired, how God has created us. And when we look at our brain, there's something in your brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is similar to a tripwire. Some call it the neural tripwire. So we're all familiar with tripwires in relation to bombs. If someone trips over a wire connected to a bomb, what happens? An explosion occurs. And the same thing sometimes happens with that neural tripwire in your brain called the amygdala. And here's how it works. The amygdala is the storehouse of all your emotional memories. All the things you remember from your past that caused an emotional charge for you, whether positive or negative, they are stored in that amygdala. So if you have some reaction to something that's occurring today, something that is addressing your emotional self, the amygdala looks back into that storehouse and tries to associate something that has happened before to what is happening now. Now, the problem with this is it makes the association not in a strict manner. And what I mean by that is it's just trying to associate anything that's similar to those memories. It may not be an exact memory of what is happening today in relation to what has happened in the past. Now, that becomes a problem for people because many times when we've had a bad reaction to something in the past and there's some association that's being made to that today, we may have no idea as to why we're reacting in that particular manner today. And I'm going to give you an example about that from my own life in a moment. But what we want to happen with our emotions is we want to take some time before we react to things. And I know this is difficult. You've probably heard of people saying, hey, wait 10 seconds if you get angry about something to react, because that'll allow you to then react in a better way. And the reason they say that is there's something else in your brain called your neocortex. And you can think of your neocortex much like Mr. Spock. It looks at all the information it can find and then decides to make a decision, where the amygdala is kind of reacting to things quickly, much like a tripwire that you trip over. Now, the amygdala is important because it helps us with our fight and flight ideas. When there is danger, we need to react quickly, and the amygdala kicks in immediately for those types of situations. But there are other situations when we want to reserve judgment, think about things, and then react to what's happening. That's when your neocortex kicks in. So let me give you an example so you can probably think about examples in your own life. So I was a kid of about 8 years of age, and my mother had dressed me all up to go to church. She put a suit on me. She put a little bow tie on me. Bow ties were big back when I was a kid, and I didn't like it. I didn't like wearing a bow tie. I didn't like having a suit on, as many of you can relate to when you were children. In fact, today I'm not crazy about having a suit and tie on, to be quite honest with you. It may stem from that, I don't know. But anyway, she tells me at the last moment before we leave for church, I also want you to wear this new trench coat that I just bought for you. And that was too much for me. I wasn't going to take that. So I started running around the living room screaming and hollering about, I'm not wearing this trench coat. My mother followed me and she told me I was going to wear that trench coat. So I had an emotional memory from this incident when I was about 8 years of age. Now, when I think about being 8 years of age, folks, I don't remember that many things, but I do remember that like it was yesterday. And that storehouse, that memory went into my storehouse, into my amygdala. So now let's fast forward to me being about 26, 27 years of age. I'm walking into my place of employment, and there are a number of people on this particular day wearing trench coats. There's a friend of mine walking into work with me, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, I say, why are all these people wearing trench coats? And I said it with that vigor, with that verve. My friend looked at me quizzically, and I can remember him saying, Mike, what's your problem with trench coats? Now, at the time, I didn't have an answer. I started to think about it. But as I began to read and study more about psychology and how the brain works, I realized that that incident from my childhood at age 8 probably played some part into why I was upset with people wearing trench coats. So you see how the amygdala makes an association that isn't exact, and then has you react in your adult life, in your adult self, in a way that maybe isn't too good for you. Now, that wasn't a really bad thing. But folks, there are people in this world who've been physically abused, who've been sexually abused, who've been psychologically abused as children. And some of the things that have occurred in their life have them reacting in certain ways in their adult life. And they may not even be tuned into why they're reacting the way they do. They're making those associations back to those bad experiences from the past, and they may not have a full understanding as to why. And that's where we can come in as Christians to help these people along. Now, notice something in Scripture in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. This plays a part in what we're discussing here. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says this. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, when we think about the heart as it's described here, this entails also your emotions and your feelings. And it says that they can be deceiving to us. Now, how can they be deceiving? Well, I just gave you an example. We react sometimes to things emotionally, and the reason we're reacting is because of things that have occurred in our past. Not everything, but some things. And so we're not sure, why did I react that way? Why did I go off in that particular situation? It could have a relation to what you've gone through in your life. So how do we get over this? Well, we get over this by examining ourselves, understanding ourselves. And once you can understand, this is why I don't like trench coats, you're able to deal with trench coats in the future and not have a big deal about them and all those other things which are much more serious that we could discuss. Now, looking at all of this, I want to talk a little bit about what the Bible has to say about our emotions. Because many people can say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. But the Bible tells you there's another place you can go to. You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and take yourself to a different place as far as how you're operating in the world. Through Jesus Christ's blessed blood, we can overcome the problems that we've had in our past. And the Bible is clear on telling you that you can overcome these emotional issues that we've had in life. Let me show you some examples of this. I want to go to the book of James in the Bible here. And in James chapter 1 and verse 19, listen to what it says here in James 1, 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is speaking to what we're talking about here with emotional intelligence. You want to be slow to reacting to things. You want to listen to folks, hear them out. And sometimes when people are supercharged and coming at you, just listening to them diffuses their anger. Giving them a soft response diffuses that anger, and the Bible speaks about those types of things. Controlling those emotions, and by controlling your emotion, you sometimes can control the emotions of others. Another example of this is over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 John 3 and verse 15 says this. It says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What's this talking about? It's talking about emotional control, folks. We've got to temper our emotion. We just can't hate people. It's not biblical. It's not something you should do as a Christian. You've got to overcome those emotional feelings that sometimes well up inside of us. There are numerous other places in Scripture we can go to see this. In Matthew 5 and verse 22 is another pertinent example to what we're discussing here. Matthew 5 and verse 22, let me just read it for you. It says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. We want to control emotions like anger. It's very important as a Christian to control that anger, to control that lust, to control those feelings and emotions that we have about things in life and live the proper Christian life. Now, when I think about this, I remember reading something in the book, Emotional Intelligence by Dan Coleman. And Coleman talked about something called emotional contagion. Now, when you think about this phrase, emotional contagion, you hear that word contagious in there. And we know that contagious diseases are diseases that can be passed from one person to another. In his book, Coleman relates a story from the Vietnam War. And he interviewed the soldiers that took part in this particular battle. And what occurred was there was a battle going on between the American side and the Viet Cong, and they were fighting over this berm in this field. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, onto this field started to walk in single file a line of Buddhist monks. Now, as they started to get close to the line of fire, both sides stopped shooting. And the monks continued across the battlefield and continued on their way. The interesting thing about this, though, is the Americans related that when this occurred, no one started shooting for the rest of the day. The battle was over for that particular day because of the feeling that welled up inside both sides of this battle. The fact that these monks were putting their lives on the line, walking into the line of fire, just altered how the others who were battling were operating on that particular day. And this is true. We see an example of this in the Bible. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them handy, to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. Now notice what it says here in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is talking about emotional contagion here. It's not saying it's emotional contagion here, but that's what it's talking about. So we see here that your emotions can influence other people. When you're coming across as angry and upset, other people are going to ratchet up their emotions. When you're peaceful and calm, you're able to calm many other people. Not all people, but many other people will calm down when you give them a soft answer. And we need to keep that in mind as Christians. We need to be examples to others in how we operate, and our emotions are things that people can read and see out into the universe. Now, when you think about this, think of Jesus Christ and his example. The fact that he became a martyr for what he believed in. That's a great example for us, that he was able to take all of this emotional abuse from people at the end of his life and just continue to walk right into that death that he had to suffer. When you think of the martyrdom of Stephen and rocks being thrown at him, and he's able to handle that situation in the way that he did. Those examples in the Bible are examples for people who read the Bible. And those who read it can understand that this is the way you need to operate in life, rather than letting your emotions run roughshod over people like many of us do. Now, a lot of research has been done on this. There's a fellow named Ulf Dimberg from the University of Uppsala in Sweden. And he did some research into this where he showed people pictures of people who were either smiling or close to smiling, and he showed pictures of people who were depressed or angry, and he wanted to see what the reaction of people seeing these facial expressions was going to be. And what he found through the instruments that he set up on individuals who were looking at these pictures was he was able to detect that people's facial muscles were moving in certain ways that either were for happiness or either for sadness. But those muscles were moving because of them looking at the happy faces or the sad faces. So once again, this is more evidence of this concept of emotional contagion, that your feelings can influence others. And those of you that are married out there, if you think of when your wife is upset or your wife is angry, or when your husband is upset or your husband is angry, how does that make you feel as you go through the day with that individual in the same household? I think you agree that there is something called emotional contagion, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to watch our emotions, especially in relation to other people and how we get along with those people. Now, keeping all these things in mind that we've just addressed, I want to briefly address health and emotions, because there's a lot of research that's being done in this particular field also. And when we look at this research that's going into health and emotions today, we're finding that science is telling us that your autonomic nervous system gives information to your immune system. So if you are positive, if you are optimistic, this can influence your immune cells, your macrophages and your lymphocytes, these cells within your immune system that fight those things that bring you disease, that make you sick. What science is telling us is that when we have a more positive, optimistic outlook on life, we can have a more strong immune system. But it also tells us when we are depressed, when we are down, when we are suffering from sadness on a regular basis, that we are more susceptible to diseases, to problems like ulcers, like heart disease, like those types of things, like asthma and arthritis that can debilitate our body. So the point I want to make here is we need to have this positive outlook. And when we control our emotion, when we understand our emotion, because our emotion has a lot to do with how we are reacting to things, we can make our life a lot better. One final scripture I'd like to turn to is over in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And if you think about that and you think about your emotion, many times when you're in that emotion, you think it's okay to say that wrong thing to someone. You think it's okay to strike back at someone because your emotion is taken over. This is called flooding, when your emotions take over control of the self, much like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of situation. You know, once you allow your emotions to take over, to flood you and to control how you're going to act, you're in a danger zone, folks. That's where murders occur. That's where adultery occurs. That's where all these problems and sins occur, when we allow our emotion to get the better of us. But as we've said on today's program, you can control that emotion. You can repent of your past sins. You can get baptized. You can get God's Holy Spirit inside of you, and that will assist you when those temptations arise and those emotions are coming forward. You can temper those emotions. You can control those emotions through the power of God's Holy Spirit living inside of you. The pages of your Bible tell you that this is a fact. This can be done. You can overcome whatever has happened in your past and live a life of control of your emotions, and then show that positivity to others, and hopefully that positivity that you are putting into the world can help lead others to the truth of Jesus Christ and His resurrection and what that's all about. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. Please join us again on another edition of The Armor of God. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.